The word of God for our consideration this evening is from John chapter 12, beginning with verse 20. Now there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the festival. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. "Sir," they said, "we would like to see Jesus." Philip went to tell Andrew. Andrew and Philip in turn told Jesus. Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it was for this very hour I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it and will glorify it again." The crowd that was there and heard it said it had thundered. Others said an angel had spoken to him. Jesus said, "This voice was for your benefit, not mine. Now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to show the kind of death he was going to die. This is the word of our Lord. In the name of Jesus, dear brothers and sisters, do you ever feel that you just don't quite belong? One of the most painful times in my life, when I sincerely felt that I did not belong, took place when I was about 5 years old. My mother and my grandfather took me to a store called Minnesota Fabrics. If you don't know what this store is, they sell yarn and other things that you can quilt and crochet, and that's wonderful if you're into that. I have no problem with that. That's great. But I was a five-year-old boy. What were they thinking? And so I went into this place filled with yarn, and my grandmother and mother were looking through everything, and I realized I really don't belong here. I didn't know what to do. Well, out of desperation, I wandered away from my grandmother and mother and their yarn dreams and fantasies, and I wandered to the front of the store. There was nothing to play with. There was nothing to do. I was desperate. I saw bars that were in the front window of the store, just behind them, kind of security gate bars. And I don't know why I did this, but for some reason, I thought it would be a good idea to stick my head in between the bars. And that's what I did. And it was kind of fun. I was pretending like I was in jail. I certainly felt that way. But then I thought it was probably time to get out of there. But the problem was that I couldn't. My head was stuck. The woman working the front desk saw this, got on the intercom and said, "Would the mother of the son who stuck his head into the bars please come to the front of the store?" At which time my mother turned to my grandmother and said, "I wonder who that is." "Where's John?" Well, they came to the front of the store, found what was going on, and I couldn't get out. So they called some friends, the fire department. And they came, and after some trying, it was a different time. The fire chief said, "Well, if the head went in that way, it must have to come out that way somehow." And one, two, three, boom, punk, and my head popped right back out again. I was never in such pain at a place where I didn't feel like I belonged. Sometimes when we feel isolated, when we feel alone, when we feel we don't belong, we're desperate for some kind of help. And it can be a painful experience. Now, certainly I hope you haven't stuck your head behind between bars when you felt that way, but perhaps you feel pain in other ways when you don't belong. Maybe you feel that you don't really quite belong in your culture. The world around you, the neighbors down your street, the other classmates that you go to school with, your co-workers, maybe the other residents at the assisted living center, they don't always support and applaud what you believe, do they? And maybe they wouldn't be thrilled and just say, oh, how wonderful that in the middle of the week you come to church. What a wonderful thing to do with your time. Maybe they wouldn't say that. You don't always feel that you belong. And maybe you feel that in the culture of the world around you in a broader sense, too. Because the culture around you probably doesn't always applaud you and encourage you for going to a church that proclaims that all of God's word is true, including whatever God says about creation and his design for human sexuality and marriage. I bet that the culture around you doesn't always make you feel like you belong. And so perhaps at times you feel like a foreigner in your own culture. You feel like a foreigner in your own neighborhood, your own place of business, your own school, or if other people in your family don't believe like you do, you might even feel like a foreigner in your own family, in your own home. But if that's the case, then you don't feel too differently than the group of people we're meeting tonight as we follow Jesus' final steps. Some Greeks. These Greeks probably felt like foreigners in their own culture. They probably felt like they didn't belong. Why? Well, these Greeks were converts to Judaism, and so therefore they were following a way of life, a set of religious tenets that was completely different than the culture that they were native to and came from. Now, the Greek culture had some wonderful things. They made amazing pottery. They wrote amazing poetry. And they even produced incredible politics. The Greeks helped set the foundation for Western democracy. But along with that culture came all kinds of things that were way different and completely contrary to God's word that these Greek converts to Judaism were trying to hold on to. The Greeks worshipped a pantheon of gods, Zeus, Apollo, Venus. Well, these Greeks worshipped one God, the true God. The Greek culture celebrated drunkenness and debauchery. But these Greeks who converted to Judaism were told to do all things in moderation and self-control. The Greek culture championed success and triumph and personal glory, even if it meant putting others down to do whatever you could to hold on to your own rights and power. But these Greek converts to Judaism were taught to love their neighbor as themselves and to even lay down their life for their neighbor. The Greek culture engaged in all kinds of sexual sins. Some of them that they engaged in and even painted on pottery would get people arrested in our American culture today. And the Greek converts to Judaism were taught to have but one wife, to be pure in thought and word and deed. And so these Greeks must have felt completely alienated and foreign, strangers to the very culture that they grew up in. Perhaps they felt just like you. Maybe you don't always feel welcomed, feel like you belong in your own culture, but well, can we say this? Maybe you don't always feel welcome in your own church. Churches should be the place where we can be the most open, most vulnerable with one another, confess our sins to one another, and then receive grace and forgiveness and mercy. But I know that St. Timothy in Lombard has a problem, and it's the same problem with Good Shepherd in Downers Grove and with every other Christian church in the world. When you crunch the numbers and the stats at the end of every year, 100% of your members are sinners. And that means that because we are sinners, we don't always talk to one another as we should, listen to one another as we should, be patient as we should, take one another's words and actions in the kindest possible way. And that even extends to the church, if we'd call it, of our homes. Oh, yeah, husbands and wives who are to love one another as Christ loves them know how to give each other that eye, that silent treatment. Siblings can be jealous and judgmental, well, through all ages, and including people who claim to go to the same church. You might not always feel welcome, like you belong in your own church. But another reason that you might not always feel welcome in your own church is because you realize you are coming before a holy God who can see all and knows all. And if that holy God or those other people in church could see all of your sins, oh, that's a terrifying thought. I think these Greeks might have been tempted to feel that way too. I don't think they always felt welcomed in their own church. You see, when they went to the temple to worship, they could not go all the way to the front. There was a special courtyard reserved just for them because they were not 100% Jewish. It was called the Court of the Gentiles. And a lot of the Jewish people who went to worship at the temple so looked down on this court of the Gentiles that they had even set up booths to exchange money and sell animals for sacrifice in the middle of the court of the Gentiles. Jesus had to clear that out later, earlier in the week. But in case these Greeks didn't quite get it, there was even a sign that was posted at the farthest point they could walk towards the temple. And the sign read that if any of them who were not Jews took one more step after that, they would be put to death. Can you imagine how they didn't necessarily feel welcome at their own church? I mean, it's as if you came in to sit in a pew and there was a sign there saying, no, this belongs to the blah, blah, blah family. If you sit here, you'll be put to death. I don't think you'd feel welcome either. And those Greeks did sacrifices again and again and again, which just reminded them of their own sins and need for a better sacrifice. I don't think they felt welcomed in their own culture. I don't think they felt welcomed in their own church. But then, they heard of someone who was different. A Jewish teacher, yes, but one who was known to eat with tax collectors and sinners and prostitutes, one who was known to preach to Jews and Gentiles, someone who claimed to be the light of the world for every culture, nation, tribe, people, and language, someone who quoted prophecy after prophecy in the Old Testament and said, "This is me," and someone who promised to give them a place where they would belong forever, that he was preparing in heaven. And so these people who didn't quite belong anywhere went searching for belonging. And what was their request? We would like to see Jesus. And what did they see? Well, they saw the one who promised to give his life like a kernel of wheat falling to the ground in order to bring a harvest of life to every nation, tribe, language, and people. Jesus said, "I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds." He was promising to give heaven to them, but then also that through what he would do, many seeds would grow. His word would go out throughout the world, including that place called Greece, and many would come to faith. Would you like to see Jesus? Well, you've come to the right place. Here, when you come to the Word, when you come to the sacrament, you come and find that in Him you belong. And what will you see? Well, He's the one who gives you this beautiful promise. Anyone who loves their life will lose it. Well, anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. And that might not sound like good news at first. Anyone who hates their life, what? But what he's saying is this. Even if you give up everything in this life, or if everyone in this life gives up on you, and you are abandoned for his name, you are persecuted for his name, you are alone, in him you will have life. He will not abandon you. He will not leave you. And you, his servant, will be where he is. And his Father will honor you. And his Father knows every hair on your head. You may be excluded by others in this life. You may not feel like you always belong. But even if you lose all popularity, prestige in this life, you lose nothing with Jesus. In him you belong. And he is the one who made all of history happen so that you, whatever your nationality is, have come to know and see him. In him you belong. So he says to you to this day, come to me. Come to me. Come with all of your sins. They belong to me. Because on the cross I died for every one of them. Come. Come to me with all of your insecurities and anxieties. They belong to me too. Because I tell you to bring them to me. And I will give you peace. Come to me with all of your loneliness and heartache. That belongs to me too, he says. For I will be with you always. And I will give you peace that the world never can. Come. Come and see Jesus. See him each day in your life, promised in his word. And then get ready for that day when you will see him with your own eyes. When he will welcome you into the courtyards of heaven, and there will be no signs threatening your death, but rather Jesus Christ welcoming you to eternal life now and always. That's where you're going. And I think you're going to meet some Greeks there too. Come and see Jesus. This is just where you belong. Amen. May the peace and love of our God that goes beyond all understanding guard and keep our hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.